It's not going to work unless I turn it on. There we go. Romans chapter number 15. I was planning to continue our series tonight from the book of Proverbs, and I was prepared to do that, but then just in the last day or two, I felt a burden to go a different direction this evening in our service. And so tonight we're going to be in Romans chapter number 15. This morning, I preached about the topic of corporate prayer, the priority of prayers as a church. And as I was studying for that and meditating on those truths, and as I was reading the scripture in my own devotions, I was reading from Romans chapter 15 this past week, and the Lord impressed my heart from this passage we're going to look at tonight. And I feel like what we should do this evening, instead of our normal series, is we should have a special time of prayer together, because tomorrow we're planning to send a group of 19 of our folks on a trip to Peru, a missions trip to Peru, and there is a great need that we would bathe that trip in prayer. And so I want to show you a passage of scripture tonight where the Apostle Paul, it's kind of a personal section. It begins at verse number 15 of chapter 15 and it goes to the end of the chapter. It's kind of a personal section where Paul is talking about some of his own plans, and he's talking about the fact that he also was wanting to make a trip. Before he could make that trip, though, he was making another trip. All right, so he was envisioning that he was making these different trips. He was going to be traveling, and there were different challenges involved with those things. And on that basis, because of these plans that he had and the things that were going to be happening in his life and the things that he wanted to do for the work of the ministry, he asked the church at Rome very specifically to pray for him. And so tonight as we get started here in Romans chapter 15, I would like us to see, first of all, Paul's request. The heart of the passage and what I'm speaking tonight is verse 30. But before we get to that verse, let's just go ahead and read from verse 15 all the way to the end of the chapter so we can get the context, all right? So Romans 15, 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. All right, he's talking here about the ministry God had called him to, that God had given him special grace to be the apostle of Christ to the Gentiles. His job was to preach the gospel. Verse 17, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Here he's describing the ministry that God gave him and how God had put the power of the Holy Spirit upon his ministry, that he had preached the gospel. God had given him power even to do signs and wonders in order to authenticate the preaching of that message. He was an apostle in every sense of the word, and he had been faithful to that ministry, and God had blessed that ministry. Now let's go on to verse number 20. He says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So he says, my goal, my mission as an apostle of Jesus Christ is to go and to preach the gospel in places where the gospel has not yet been preached. And if you read the book of Romans, you'll see from the very first part of the book, right from chapter 1, one of the greatest desires on Paul's heart was to get to Rome and to preach the gospel there. And that was the trip that he really wanted to make. He wanted to travel to Rome and he wanted to be able to preach the gospel there just as he had preached the gospel in these other places in the power of God. But now look at verse number 22. He said, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. He says, this is my desire. I want to come there and I want to preach. I want to be there with you. But now verse 25, before he could come to Rome, he had another trip to make. Verse 25, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. If you'll direct your attention back, please, to verse number 30, I would first of all like you to see Paul's request. His request was that the church of Rome would strive together with him in their prayers for him. All right, so he is asking them to pray for him in the context of these of the ministry that God had given to him and the plans that he had to travel and to do the work of God, first to go into Judea, then to make a trip into Rome. He said, brethren, I need you to pray for me. And you know what? As we are anticipating this trip to Peru, as our team is getting ready to Peru, tomorrow, I would say on their behalf the same thing to you, that brethren, we need you to pray for us. We need you to strive together with us in your prayers for us. As we are getting ready to make this trip, we need to make this a very focused matter of prayer. And we need you to continue to pray for us while we are there, while we're traveling, while we're there, as we return, and afterwards, that God's will would be done. All right, so that was Paul's request. He said, strive together. Let's look at that a little bit more closely. That word, strive together, literally means to agonize together. It means to wrestle together. The Greek word there, agonizomai, to wrestle or to contend for a prize in the games, is the idea of that word. And here it is being used as a description of teamwork in prayer. Paul was praying, okay? He was praying about these things. And he said, I need you to be on my team in prayer. I need you to team up with me. I need you to get into the ring with me. I need you to contend with me in prayers so that I can do these things that God has called me to do. In the same way, we need you to be on our team in prayers. Maybe you're not going with us to Peru, but you are an important part of the team. You are a part of the team here to pray for us, to support us in our prayers. You know, we pray for our missionaries, and our missionaries count on us to uphold them in our prayers. We are a part of their team, even though we're not right there with them on the field all the time, yet the prayers that we lift up here on their behalf make a real difference there, wherever they may be, even on the other side of planet Earth, because we serve an infinite God, we pray to an unlimited God, and we can raise up the requests of people to prayer, and it doesn't matter how far we may be removed from them in space and time, because God is everywhere, and God is the one that hears and works and answers to prayer. So Paul here, who's writing to these people, they were a long ways away, and he said, I need you to be on the team. I need you to pray with me. I need you to wrestle with me in prayer. Then would you look at another part of the verse here? Look at verse number 30 again. Look at the first part of the verse. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. Paul here is asking them to be a part of the team in prayer. But he doesn't just say, you know what, I would really appreciate it if you would pray for me. He doesn't say, you know, kind of casually, well, you know, if you get a chance, you know, pray for me. No. That word beseech is a very strong word, isn't it? I mean, really what Paul is saying is, brethren, I am begging you to pray with me. I mean, that is an urgency in that request. That is some fervency in that request. Paul was very convinced of his need for prayers, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's people in this church. And so as we learned a few weeks ago when we were studying fellowship, we were studying Philippians 1:27, how Paul says you need to strive together as a church for the faith of the gospel. That's one kind of teamwork, striving together in ministry work for the cause of Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, laboring together, partnership in the gospel. But just as a church is supposed to strive together in prayers, here we see that a church also is supposed to, strive together in their service, okay? So a church is supposed to strive together in their prayers as well. And that's what Paul envisioned here. He envisioned that these people in Rome, they were going to be praying with him, and they were going to be praying with one another for him, and together they would continue to pray. So that was Paul's request. But now why? Why was Paul so urgent about this request? Why was he begging these people to pray for him? Well, there were several reasons that we saw as we read through the passage. I want to draw your attention to them. Look back at verse number 22. The first reason for Paul's request was because there was opposition. Look again at verse 22. He says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." He said, I have a cause. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given me the ministry of apostleship, and I have been doing that ministry wherever God has sent me across the known world. I want to come to Rome, and I want to fulfill my ministry there as well. And yet, Paul was aware of the fact that one reason that he had not yet been able to go to Rome was because he had been much hindered. So who was hindering him? Well, the answer to that question is very simple. That's the devil, okay? The devil is the one that hinders God's work. And there are other passages where Paul talks about the fact that Satan hindered us. The devil is always trying to slow down, to throw a monkey wrench into, to prevent the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is always working to hinder the work of God. And so Paul here was aware of a reality. It was not a reality that he could see with his physical eyes, but it was a reality that he could discern with spiritual vision, with the vision that God had given to him of spiritual discernment. He understood that he was involved in a warfare, that his foes were not primarily flesh and blood, that he had a host of spiritual wickedness lined up against him. And the devil was trying his very best to keep Paul from getting to Rome. And so the first reason he was praying, he was asking for prayer, and he was begging for prayer was because there was opposition. You know what? Anytime you try to do something for God, something worthwhile, you can count on opposition. The opposition does not mean that you're out of the will of God. The opposition may mean you're right smack in the will of God. Paul said, in another passage, he said, I'm going to tarry in Ephesus till Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Wherever there is a great door, you can count on the fact you're going to have to run the gauntlet of adversaries to go through that door. And so there's going to be opposition. And folks, this is one reason why we need you to pray for us as a Peru team. Because there will be opposition to doing God's work. As we are taking this step, and these 19 people that have signed up to go to Peru, they have taken a huge step of faith to make this commitment to go to Peru. And amazingly, it's been a huge blessing to see God bring in their support. Every one of those folks has fully raised their support to go to Peru. I mean, the funds have come in. God has provided. They took a step of faith, and yet it's another step of faith to get onto that plane and to fly all the way down to Peru. To seek to be a part of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And there will be opposition. In fact, just today, Brother Stephen called me up, 3:30 p.m. He said, the bus just sprang a major oil leak. And the other bus isn't drivable right now because it has brake problems. And so we're going to have to figure out some other way to get to the airport. And I'm thinking to myself, we don't have another way to get to the airport. You know, there's always spiritual warfare around these buses, okay? I mean, it's amazing, all right? They work great except during vacation Bible school, you know, because we're trying to use them to do the work of the ministry, you see. And so, you know, there's now we have a leak. And so, I hung up the phone with him and I started praying, Lord, we need you to solve this problem because we don't really have another way to. And so I got to church and saw Steve and he said, I don't know what happened, but the leak stopped. And I've been driving around and no more leak. So I don't know what happened, but that's the kind of thing. We haven't even left for Peru, and already we have opposition. There's somebody trying to hinder the work of God, folks. And this is one reason why, as believers, we must engage in prayer on the side of right, because that is the way we can participate in the spiritual warfare. We engage in prayer. And so I don't know what other hindrances we may face, but anytime you're trying to do something for God, especially where, you know, one of the front lines of spiritual warfare is when you're trying to win people to Christ. I mean, if there's going to be a satanic opposition, it's going to be right there, because he doesn't like to give ground easy, okay? So if you're trying to win people to the Lord, you can expect spiritual warfare. It's going to happen. It's going to happen when we go to Peru. And so we need you to pray for us. Another reason why Paul needed prayer was because there were dangers, actual dangers that he was aware of. Look at verse number 31. He said, "Then I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Paul was very well aware of the fact that there were a whole lot of people there in Jerusalem who wanted him dead. And he was going there because he wanted to deliver this love gift that the Gentiles had collected for the saints there in Jerusalem, and he explains that that was the purpose. But he was well aware of the fact that there were going to be dangers where he was going. And so this was another reason why he requested prayer. And folks, again, you know, there are dangers involved. Anytime you do any kind of international travel, go into a strange situation, there's always potential dangers. I don't know what they all might be. But again, this is another reason why we need you to pray for us. This is another reason why we need you to not just pray casually for us, but to agonize with us in your prayers. All right, so there was another reason. There were dangers. The third reason that Paul requested prayer was because there was gospel work to be done. Would you look at verse number 29? He said, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." This was the whole purpose. He wanted to go to Rome so he could preach them the gospel. And he was convinced of the fact that when he got to Rome, that the gospel would be preached, that it would be preached in fullness, that there would be a fruitfulness to that gospel ministry. There were things that needed to be done in Rome for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he was eager to get there. He was longing to be able to be a part of that work. And this was another reason why he requested prayer. Folks, when we go to Peru, we're going to have an opportunity to be involved in gospel work, all right? We're going to be partaking in an evangelistic service on a Friday night. We're going to be passing out some tracts. We're going to be ministering in the church on Sunday and a couple of different Wednesday nights. I'll have an opportunity to preach. Pastor Nate will have an opportunity to preach. Each one of us a couple of times. Kenton is going to speak one time. We're going to be having an opportunity to minister in the Word of God, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're expecting that there'll be lost people in attendance at the evangelistic service. There will be an opportunity for souls to be saved, for the seed of the word to be planted or to be watered, and for a harvest to be reaped. And so this is another reason why we need you to pray for us, because there's gospel work to be done. We want to go in the fullness of the gospel of Christ. We want it to be fully fruitful. And then another reason that Paul requested prayer was because there were saints to be edified. Look again at verse number 31. He said, "And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that it may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." One of his goals in this trip that he was planning to Rome was he was longing to get there so that he could have joy in the company of the brethren there, those believers that he knew and loved, and so that they could have joy in his company, that they could refresh one another mutually. He was eagerly looking forward to that sweet fellowship. By the way, that's another reason why we're going to Peru. Okay, we're going to see John and Julie Stillwell, missionaries that we've been supporting for many years. And one of the major reasons why we're taking this trip to Peru is because we want to be a personal encouragement to those missionaries. You know, missionaries, if you've ever been to the mission field, one thing that you'll realize pretty quickly is missionaries are a long ways from home. And it can be easy to be to feel kind of lonely, maybe somewhat isolated sometimes. And I know the Stillwells, they have people that they work with there and so forth in their area. They have opportunities for fellowship, but still, folks, it's not like being at home, okay? And one of the reasons we're taking this trip is so that we can come alongside them just to be an encouragement, just to encourage them by our presence, that we can refresh them and they can refresh us, and we can have joy in that fellowship together. That is a worthy cause and a worthy goal. And that was one of the things that Paul was looking forward to. And so for these four reasons, folks, Paul was urgent about his request that the church strive together with him in their prayers. But now, finally, this evening, I'd also like you to see that Paul made this request on the basis of some resources. So would you look back at verse number 30? Verse 30. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." He made this appeal on the basis of two things. First of all, he asked them to pray for the sake of Christ. You know, this evening when we opened the service, and I in my prayer, I alluded to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to do in order to make it possible for us to come to God in prayer. What did it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to open the way for us to God? The Bible says we have access into that holiest place through the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the price that he paid in order to make it possible for people like us to be able to approach God's throne. Folks, we don't have to go through an intermediary. We are not on the outside of the tabernacle anymore, wishing that we could get into that place where the presence of God is revealed. No, we can have direct access to God, our Father, at any moment. And so Hebrews 10 says, then let us draw near. I mean, if we can come to God, then why would we stay away? Why would we not take advantage of what God has given us? And so Paul said, I'm asking you to pray for me, first of all, for the sake of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did to make it possible for you to pray for me, and also because he is worthy of your prayers, and he is worthy of my service, and he is worthy of everything that we can bring to him. So that was the first basis and the first resource that Paul mentions. And then secondly, look at the next one. He also begged them for the love of the Spirit. Paul knew that these believers all had the Holy Spirit of God, and that the love of Christ was dwelling in their hearts by faith. And so he could make this request with confidence because he knew that God would give those brethren the heart to pray for him because of the love of the Spirit. And for the sake of that love, he said, I need you to pray for me. If you love me, I need you to pray for me. And of course, they did love him. They loved him in Christ. They shared the love of Christ. And they, no doubt, honored this request and upheld him in prayer. And so, folks, again tonight, these are some reasons for us to pray. These are reasons for us to pray this evening. These are reasons for us to pray regularly, both as individuals, but also as a church. That when we take time to labor together in prayer as a church, it is for the sake of Christ, and it is for the love of the Spirit. And so tonight, what I would like us to do is I would like us to take some time to pray together as a church. And specifically, I would like us to take time to pray about our Peru trip. Now, our Peru team, we have been having some prayer times together when we have our team meetings, and so we've been praying, and I know many of you have already been praying, but what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have a bigger team prayer meeting, okay, because as we learned this evening, you're all on the team, okay, so we're gonna enlarge our team prayer meeting tonight and ask for all of us to take time to pray for this trip, okay? And so because we're making this kind of a team prayer meeting tonight, I'm going to, this is how we're going to do this prayer meeting. I will ask a couple of our men to start us out in prayer, but then I will allow those who feel burdened to pray to be a part of that. If you're on the Peru team and you want to pray, you're welcome to do that. Or if you're not going to Peru, but you feel moved in your heart to pray, I would invite you to do that as well. And just stand where you are and pray loudly enough for everybody to hear. And just pray at the leading of God's Spirit for the things that God lays upon your heart. But I've given you some specific requests here that you can pray for tonight. So if you have to peek from time to time to review the request, that's okay. But I would like to mention these specific things: safety in our travel and while we're in Peru. No complications in transit. It's a complicated thing to move 19 people to another continent. Pray for the health for the team. Pray for unity on the team. That the devil will not be able to hinder our work by sowing any kind of discord or disunity amongst the team members. Dealing with language barriers. The vast majority of us don't speak a whole lot of Spanish, okay? And so that's going to be a challenge. Pray for opportunities to share Christ. Pray for those opportunities. Even while we're traveling, we'll have an opportunity to share the Lord, the gospel with people. And then when we get to Peru, pray for encouragement for our missionaries, that we will be able to be an encouragement to them, that we will edify them and leave them strengthened. Pray for encouragement for Peruvian believers. We'll have the opportunity to fellowship with the believers there in that church, and that they also would be built up. Pray for effectiveness in preaching and also in ministry. Our team's going to be singing. We have instrumentalists who will be playing, and so we're going to be ministering in different ways. Pray for effectiveness in those ministries. Pray for that evangelistic service on Friday night. Pray for the Sunday services that's going to be the church's anniversary Sunday, a very special day for that church. And let's pray that God would build up that church there. Pray for lasting fruit from these ministry opportunities. As Paul said when we were looking in Romans 15, I'm going to seal some fruit through this trip I'm taking to Jerusalem. Let's pray that this trip will be fruitful. Pray for a lasting impact in the lives of the team members. One of the major reasons we take missions trips as a church is to build up our own people, to challenge our own people, and to give us a heart for the gospel around the world. And then finally, Let's also pray for God's blessings right here at home. You know, we're going to be taking a lot of people, and there's a lot of bases to be covered, and so we need to pray that things will run smoothly here at home as well. All right, so there I gave you 14 things to pray about. Without any further taking any further time, let's go ahead and bow our heads together.